team. And appreciate all you guys again that helped out with Ed Starr and Mary Starr with his service took place on Friday. It was a meaningful time, an anointed time. We believe that several folks received Christ as Lord and Savior during that service. But also keep on praying for Mary that God just has his grace, his peace and comfort and presence upon her and upon that family as well. We're going to miss Ed in many ways, but we all know we're going to have a great reunion in heaven one day. And hopefully we're going to see ourselves being those who help see heaven receive a bigger population than it would have had we not been alive on the earth. Amen. God's glad you're alive. I want the second message here this morning here on living in stability. Last week was about God's faithfulness. If you were not able to be here last Sunday, please try to get the CD on that. I think it's very, very beneficial to hear that message here because God is faithful. And because God is faithful, God calls us to be faithful. And part of being stable in your life, your marriage, your relationships, is you must learn to let God work in you a thing, the element called faithfulness in your life. There's so many unfaithful people around us today. There's so many folks who don't understand what the word commitment actually even means. And God wants us to realize that's actually a kingdom principle. It's not something man made up. It's what God himself is, like himself and his nature. God is a faithful God. Amen. This morning's about being stable through humility. And that may seem like it's something that doesn't make any sense to you right now, but it will make sense before I get done talking this morning here. But humility actually also, working inside of us, will help us to be those that walk in a steady, consistent way, bearing lasting fruit, but also exemplifying the very nature of God, because God himself is humble. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, are humble beings. They're a God who actually serves us, loves us, and actually became like us to his son, Jesus Christ, to show us what humility really is all about. If you talk to people today, most people, especially men, and ask them, what is one thing that you'd like to receive from others in life? They would probably say the word respect. Now, men want respect. Women also want respect as well. And respect is something that, of course, sometimes is earned, not just given to us automatically. We see by our celebrities here that some of our folks in the celebrity field have had great respect in times past. People like Tiger Woods, people like Lance Armstrong, people like Jared from the Subway commercials. All those guys at one time had a lot of respect because they helped folks to lose weight. They inspired them for that, inspired folks by their work ethic to hit golf balls and break records across our golf courses. They broke records also, of course, in the Tour de France with Lance Armstrong there, winning at least five or six or seven times the Tour de France. But all of us also know by the headlines that all three of those guys also failed in some way, and their names got tarnished, their names got corrupted because of things they chose to do out of sometimes some pride, out of sometimes some arrogance, and sometimes letting their flesh take over and not the spirit man be in control in their lives. Proverbs 22, verse 2, it says these words, "A good name," it says, "is to be chosen rather than great riches." And it says, "loving favor rather than silver and gold." God wants us to realize that a good name is a name when people speak your name. There's actually respect and honor and actually affection with those words about speaking your name upon the face of the earth. The good news also is when God speaks your name with affection because God loves you. God loves us more than we realize he does because God is love. And God's love is so deep and so awesome, like was even spoken today by prophetic word here. We can't comprehend how much love God has for us until we finally will see him face to face in a glorified body, comprehending finally the love that God has for his people. You know, God can't wait to show off even to us what he's actually made for us in eternity. He just says, no eye has seen, no heart can comprehend, or eye can understand, mind can understand what God has prepared for the people who love him, because God loves us. Amen? Let's move now to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse 11, talking about humility today. It says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and those who humble themselves," or humbles himself, "will be exalted." This is the spiritual law of all of us who want to receive respect in life, because the book of Ephesians tells us, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husband," which simply means, wives, show your husband a realm of respect. Then it goes on beyond that and says, "And also, husbands, love your wives." So men want respect and women want love. But I also know that men and women both want respect even through love, because men also want love. Amen? We want to be respected. We want to be loved. And God says to do that by choice, not by force, because God won't make us love, and God won't make us respect, and God won't make us also submit in the earth as well. There are ways we also gain respect. We see in the world that people try to gain respect by trying to grab it and grasp it, even by force. Folks in the natural carnal realm always want to be first. We see that every day on all the streets and highways of Austin, Texas. Folks are always trying to get in front of us, trying to cut us off, trying to pull in front of us. We're going 55 miles an hour someplace, and somebody pulls out from some convenience store right in front of us. We got to slam our brakes on because they want to be first. Amen? Folks want to be first in line for airplane rides and for bus rides, for amusements as well. They want the best seat. They want the closest seat. They want the best space for their overhead bin, luggage, and so forth. People want to be first in life. And also, even in sporting events, we have umpires getting yelled at by parents because parents want little Johnny and Susie to always be first as far as the world is concerned. How many folks realize we cannot all be first? When we all try to be first, all of us suffer for that upon the earth. Almost all of our social ills would be actually solved if men would quit trying to be first in life and let God be first, and let God's nature of a servant work in us to put others as better than ourselves on the face of the earth. But I know myself, I also have a hard time sometimes with folks who try to push in front of me. It doesn't make me happy many times, and may God help all of us to push down this ego, this selfishness inside of our own lives here, and learn what it means to walk in true humility in life. This morning here, for some reason, again, the Holy Spirit's been breaking loose on us about releasing prophetic things, about talking about the depth and love that God has for us. A key ingredient to receive God's grace and God's power and God's anointing is the word humility. So God is not trying to give us a beat-down message here that you guys are all a bunch of prideful, arrogant brats that God's mad at. What God is saying is, I'm releasing to you an anointing for humility that's going to qualify you guys for more and more exaltation, more anointing, more power, more fruit in Jesus' name. Because God will give grace to the humble, but God will resist, the Bible says, what? The proud. I want to receive God's grace, because through God's grace comes every good thing on the earth. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11 goes on and says this. So Jesus told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose this best places at this dinner that Christ was at right now, he said to them, when you're invited by anybody to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you are be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. It's not real hard to be humble when you're actually in the presence of somebody who has more giftings, more talents, more success than you've got. We all can be humble around people like that. The real challenge is being humble around people who we sense are somehow not quite as high up in life as we are, as far as our education, as far as our income, our age, our status, or whatever's concerned there. Those kind of folks are harder to be humble around upon the earth. You know, one time I was invited here by a generous person in our church to go to a UT football game a couple of years ago. And most of you folks realize when University of Texas football season normally begins, they start out with what I call a kind of a glorified practice game, playing someone like North Texas State or someone like in the old days, Rice. Because these teams had no chance against UT. The score would be 55-7 at the end of the day. And so there's kind of a glorified practice time for UT to face their real hard opponents down the road. Well, I was sitting by the UT fans in this crowd here, but right next to me, right behind me, was actually a North Texas State University fan sitting to my back. One of the players, like the wide receiver for North Texas State, made a great catch on a long pass by their quarterback. This guy by himself cheers and claps and is really very, very excited by the guy making the great big long pass catch. This man now in his 50s or 60s, sitting a little bit about 10 feet from this young man, kind of leans back and says, "That guy's got a big chance in the NFL, doesn't he?" You know, you can just kind of see there, this guy was totally irked because the pride and the arrogance of the UT Longhorn getting squashed in a little bitty tiny way there made the worst come out of him to actually cut that young boy down in front of all the people around him trying to totally embarrass him. The question is, how do we react and act around people that we sense are in some way not as high up as we are? The fact is, the Bible says all people are equal in the sight of God. But to act like that and behave like that is something totally different than to speak like that and believe that in our minds. Amen? We need to also realize humility is a kingdom principle that is attached to our moving forward and being also advanced and actually promoted by God's hand upon the face of the earth. So I have what I call three take-home points to write down in your bulletins perhaps today, your notes or your iPads, whatever the case may be today. And the first point about humility is humility actually brings blessings to your life. I want you to write that down. Humility brings blessings. We are not being humble when we actually put ourselves down and cut ourselves down and talk bad about ourselves, because when you do that, it means in my mind, in the back of my brain, I've got an image of myself that's really kind of high up. When I see myself falling short of that high up, lifted up, exalted image, I tend to cut myself down, speak bad about myself, and feel bad about myself. God is saying, don't do that. It's actually a realm of pride itself. It's not being humble to cut yourself down and say how bad you are at things. It's humble to say what you say about yourself that God says about you. That's being humble. Amen? When you say what God says, you're saying, I don't receive my opinion or my report. I receive the report of God, even about myself, upon the face of the earth. And we also say things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or things like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Those are not prideful statements. Those are statements of humility that says, I know I need God to work through me to be my best upon the earth. When God is God in me, great things can take place. Nothing is impossible because God, he will strengthen me and God will work through me. And that's being a humble, teachable, pliable person that God can fill up and God can flow through in great ways. Amen. You know, back about years and years ago, I was actually involved in the staff for a while at a mega church, a few mega churches in the past. One of these mega churches had a pastor on staff full-time over all the home groups. And this guy was observed by Cheryl more than me, because Cheryl worked there for a while herself for a season. This guy was very, very charismatic, very, very funny, very intelligent, very sharp, very crafty. The guy was doing a great job as far as the public eye was concerned in front of the scenes. But behind the scenes, he was goofing off. He was passing work off to people around him. He was playing golf on Fridays, not showing up for work behind the pastor's back while he was home preparing messages. He was goofing off on some golf course someplace. And so as time was going by, the pastor began to realize this guy has a very, very poor work ethic. He's very charismatic, very charming, very happy-go-lucky, but the guy's producing no work at all behind the scenes, and even on the scenes as well as far as admins and so forth goes for his ministry. So finally, as years and years and years and years go by, he tolerates all he can tolerate, and he calls the young man in, his good friend, by this time, and he fires him. He lets him go. The unfortunate thing was, this young man got angry, got mad, and got bitter, said, how dare he fire me because of all the things I've done for this place in the past. As far as I know today, this guy may be on the outs with God himself as his life goes on. We've got to realize again that God tells us we cannot be a person who's only a nice person, because sometimes even nice people are prideful people. This man felt in a prideful way, because I'm so gifted and I'm so valuable and people like me so much, I'm very, very valuable to be here. I can do all this slough off stuff here, like let those guys do all the work there, because I'm too valuable in this place to be released. Even nice people that talk nice can be prideful people who have problems behind the scenes. Amen. So God is even saying, as Cheryl said this morning as well, a good word is not always a God word. And a good person is not always godly in all the parts of their lives. And maybe this morning God's talking to me and you as well. There might be some areas of pride that God wants to touch on today to bring some pride down, to humble things might rise up that God may qualify us for more anointing, more favor, more grace, more increase in our lives. If you look in your Bible sometime at Moses, Joseph, and David, you're going to find these three Bible characters all had some things in common. And one thing is they all helped to totally change and bless the nation of Israel. We all know that Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt into the place called Canaan land by God's guidance, God's work through his life. We all know that David conquered the Philistines and caused them to come out of the bondage of the Philistines and had their own kingdom, their own palace, their own temple, their own city called Jerusalem. He did great things for the place that was called Israel and Jerusalem. We also know that there's David, there's Joseph, there's also Joseph's life. He's a guy that, of course, was thrown in prison, but he saved the Israelites from actually going through starvation. In a time of famine, by God's wisdom and God's grace, he had the Pharaoh store up grain for 7 years. In the time of famine, God's people ate bountifully, and he saved their lives from starvation by his work and by his word and by the obedience that took place in Pharaoh through him as well. Now, in these three guys' lives, also realize all three of them began with pride and arrogance in some fashion in their lives. Moses was born in Pharaoh's palace, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, a silver spoon in his mouth. The greatest of all educators was his. He had maids. He had great food, great palace, great bedroom. He had Nintendo, PlayStation. He had his own electric car. He probably had a remote control Corvette. All these things are probably his. But Moses, as time went by, saw the Egyptian harassing the Hebrew slave. He knew God had called him to set the Hebrews free. And pride and arrogance begins to rise up in Moses, and he takes it in his own hands and kills the Egyptian. And from that faces 40 years of wilderness for a correction of his own character and life. Joseph also, the Bible says, had the coat of many colors. He was a baby of the family, spoiled by his dad, favored by his dad, coddled by his dad, helped by his dad. His brothers are all out sweat by the sweat of their brow doing all the hard labor. Joseph's back there tending the sheep, eating bonbons, watching color television, whatever he's doing there. Joseph had some issues in his own life with pride and arrogance. He said, I see my own dream here. All you guys will bow down to me one day, be serving me. He shouldn't have voiced those words out to them. There was some pride and arrogance in his own life. We all know in due time, he goes through prison, he goes through humbling, he goes through stretching, he goes through obscurity, and God brings him out, and God exalts who he is. And also for David himself, David's also the baby of the family, also spoiled by his dad, also out tending sheep, while his sons, brothers do all the hard work. And so when they finally sees Goliath, his oldest brother Eliab says what? I know how conceited you are, you little spoilt brat. You've come here only for the party and the glory, all for yourself. He's probably saying those words in truth in some ways, because he probably was a spoilt brat who had a lot of pride in his life. But how many folks that know that God knows the school of hard knocks will sometimes bring us off our high horse into a place of humility? Saul begins to attack David, tries to kill David. He finds himself for years and years going in caves and obscure places. His life's in danger every single day. And through that, David comes out. And finally, even at a point where Saul could have been killed by David's men, David says, I will not kill the Lord's anointed. May God take care of him himself. Time and time again in the older part of their lives, Joseph, David, and Moses all displayed acts of great humility. But they did that because they went through seasons of obscurity and testings and backwards momentum and strippings and hardship in their lives. That is not true now, realize, of every Bible character. It's not true of Mary. It wasn't true of Esther in some ways in our inner past. It wasn't true of many folks in the Bible. So God's best is not always to put us into a wilderness experience to get us off our high horse of pride and deal with our hearts. What God says, if we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then he will lift us up and exalt us in due time. God prefers we humble ourselves, not he humble us for us. Amen? Now, God can do that. And I know in my life God has done that. But God prefers we do it for ourselves with God's help alongside us. Amen? So Luke chapter 14, 11 again says, Luke 14, 11 says, he who humbles himself will be exalted in God's presence. Number two point is this. Humility is counterintuitive. Humility is counterintuitive. What that means is, it's kind of like working out at the gym. How many folks here love to work out at the gym? No, oh, a few, two folks that need a prayer for lying and deceitfulness. Because to me, running on ellipticals and lifting weights and doing all those sit-ups and crunches and having perspiration come down our face and our bodies and all the sore muscles, I don't call that a real fun time in my life. Amen? But working out is beneficial. It is necessary. It does bring good things to us, but it is a thing that's called counterintuitive. We know we should do it, but we just don't really like doing it. Humility is actually the same thing as that. We don't like to humble ourselves. We know we need to be humble people to be like God is and to be a blessing to people around us on the face of the earth. And so the willingness to listen to other people around us is actually the first step of humility being released into your life. How well do you listen to people around you? If you often have folks complain to you that you're always cutting them off in conversations, you find yourself speaking a whole lot more than they do back to you, it might be time to slow down and say, help me listen to people around me better with God's help. I want to remind you again today, we have two ears and one mouth. Listen two times more than you talk, and you'll learn good things in this earth. Amen? Some folks said amen. I believe it's true. Listening is the first step to humility upon this earth. When we go to leadership conferences like we do overseas in a few weeks from now in Zambia, Africa, I learned a long time back in our missions work with the Zulu people of South Africa, you must always go into foreign nations and other cultures with a spirit of humility and servantship, or you'll find them shutting you down and closing you off from the very get-go. I found that many foreigners in third world countries, they think that we Americans think we know a lot of stuff. We think we're big stuff sometimes. We think we have all the answers, all the solutions, all the money, all the power. And I can see in their faces, in their body language, these conferences sometimes are watching us to say, what are they going to manifest that validates what I believe about the arrogance of the American ministers overseas? So I make sure we do all we can do to serve, to bless, to smile, to be around them in love and total agape love there, and say, I don't have all the answers for you guys. You guys also have answers for us. You guys are prayer warriors. You guys are more than conquerors. You folks are anointed. You have things to pour into our lives, and I want what you've got in my life in Jesus' name. Amen. God takes and gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, those who come against us. The question this morning is today, how do we treat waitresses at restaurants who bring us cold food and give us 30 minutes to wait for the check or the food? How do we treat people that we sometimes see as less than we are as far as their earning power is concerned, their status is concerned? How do you treat a Taco Bell worker who puts onions on your tacos? You said no onions, no tomatoes. How do you treat McDonald's folks who don't put mustard only, but give you also pickles and all the other stuff with that? They get smart sometimes, or talk smart, or talk cute. How do we treat people around us of simple occupations? God's watching that, and God wants some humble folks to be on this earth that are his believers, treating people right. Amen? Humility comes into play in everyday life on the earth. You know, back in my old carnal days in my teens, I told you guys in the past that I learned advanced driving skills by driving a Camaro primarily. That thing had good brakes, good acceleration. But on my trips sometimes, on the highways of Wichita, Kansas, I was sometimes, like you guys yourselves, I would get tailgaters who'd tailgate me right 5 or 10 feet from my rear end. I was going the speed limit or 5 miles above the speed limit there, going what was a proper speed there, and they're still right on my tail. I'm about 19 years old, not sanctified yet, not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. I get very, very mad at that, very angry at that. So I'd slow down, I'd get in the other lane, let them pass, and I'd get right on their tail for about 3 miles. I'd say, hey, buddy, here's what it feels like to be tailgated. And so today, now I'm 50-some years old, and people tailgate me still in Austin, Texas. They still tailgate me all the time, but Cheryl testifies I don't do that anymore. Now, I tell Cheryl sometimes, I would love to so-and-so, so-and-so. But I just don't do that anymore. The Holy Spirit, a long time back, convicted me and said, you must be an example to all the people on the earth. Do unto them as you want them to do unto you. Praise God. You can answer the altar call in a moment. It doesn't say do unto others as they do unto you. Amen. It says do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I pray to God that you guys all need deliverance here of anger, road rage. Don't buy guns. Don't buy weapons. And put scriptures on your dash, whatever, your dash, your cars, to read those things. Let God take over. Moving on. Which disciple do you think had the least humility of the 12 disciples Christ had? We probably all would say Judas Iscariot. Let's read what it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 14, John 14, 14, a revealing verse about Judas Iscariot. In John 14, Jesus Christ told the disciples in great details, I assure you when I go to heaven to my Father, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will bring you to me in the kingdom of God in days to come. When you die, your spirit man will live with me forever and ever and evermore. He assures him, I won't leave you nor forsake you. Then John chapter 14, verse 14 says this. Judas, then it goes on in very plain English, says two more words. Not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? I read that verse about 10 years ago, and the Holy Spirit said, notice that Judas Iscariot did not ask Jesus any questions. He was unteachable. He was prideful. He was arrogant. He didn't care about God's kingdom. All he cared about was selfish gain for himself to look good among his peers and friends and society that he lived in. He didn't ask questions about Jesus or the kingdom of God. We never reach a place where we don't have to practice humility in our lives. Amen? Whatever stage you're in life, you're going to need humility. Way back, long time ago, I used to sit at the card table during Thanksgiving meals. I thought, oh, praise God, one day I'm going to advance from the card table to the real table. I'm going to really arrive when that takes place. I'm at the real table. I realize even there I need humility. Pass the gravy, pass the corn, pass the peas, and don't just take things for yourself. Quit hogging things, so forth, so on. College years finally come. I've arrived. I'm independent. All good things will come my way. Even in college, we need humility. On the workplace, in retirement, all of us need humility in every stage of our lives. Amen? Point number three is this. Number three says humility actually also protects us. It protects us. Very, very important to write this down and realize this. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Notice next of all what it says. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Earlier it said, husbands or wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. This says, all people, be submissive in spirit to one another. Then it goes on and says, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What does it say here again? It says, be clothed in humility. If we're not clothed by God's humility, we're actually going around naked on the earth, buck naked on the earth. Amen? God does not want streakers in his kingdom. He wants you totally clothed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet with a thing called humility. Amen? Too many naked folks running around right now in the spiritual realm, they're clothed in pride, and pride uncovers you. Humility covers you. Amen? When Adam and Eve sinned back in the Garden of Eden, they lost the covering glory of God because pride came in. They said, I want to know things that God knows. I want to make my own decisions. I want to do things my way. They became unclothed, became naked. In the Greek language, the word naked, the word unclothed is naked. In Greek language, the word naked. Naked means not one stitch of clothes on your body. Look it up sometime. I'm just joking. You guys, take things too serious here. I'm sure the Greek word for unclothed is not naked, but I'm just saying that to be funny here. Now listen. Okay, so we may think we become weak and vulnerable by becoming humble, but the truth is God says you become clothed in my power, my glory, my strength, my protection when you take on humility in your life. It actually protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, back again when Sarah, our youngest daughter, was only about, I think, 12 or 13 years old, about 12 years old, she had an elementary school friend, had a birthday party around the corner from us. This very, very quiet corner, very quiet street. I let her off the curb, and I'm only about 15, 20 feet from the curb's intersection, freeway intersection. So I back the car up into the intersection to go reverse and go back the other way toward our house. Well, unbeknownst to me, an unmarked police car pulled in right behind me, flashed his lights at me. He actually lived in the neighborhood I was in. This guy was in also in his 40s, 50s there, unmarked policeman, comes out in his everyday clothes and says, "Sir, do you realize that you have actually broken the law by backing up into an intersection?" This guy, I could tell by his face and voice, was ticked off because I was in his neighborhood doing something he'd seen done probably time and time again, and he was sick of it. And so I became a humble, humble person, and I said, "Officer, I am very sorry. I had no idea that was actually a law. And I was telling the truth. I had no idea you couldn't back up 10 feet in an intersection and turn around." I'd say, "I'm sorry. I should not have done that." He goes, "Okay, sir, I'm going to give you a warning this time, but don't do that again." Being humble protects you from many things that's bad in your life. Amen? Many cops will probably even tell you, folks that get really arrogant, really prideful, and talk back to them and have a real, really sick attitude probably get tickets more times than folks that are humble and teachable and listen to them and obey what they say. Amen? Humility also is a willingness to make an adjustment in our lives. Notice it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, "Humble yourself under my hand that I may exalt you," it says here, "in due time." How many of you folks here had teachers in elementary school that always told you guys, if you go to them and say, "Can I go to the bathroom?" or "Can I throw this in the trash can?" they would say back to you, "No, you may not." And you say, "Well, what's the problem here? Johnny went there and Susie went there. Why can't I go there?" Because you're saying, "Can I?" And you should be saying, "May I?" Yes, you can go to the bathroom, but you can't go there because you're saying it the wrong way to me. Yes, you can throw trash out, but you're not saying, "May I?" The proper term here is, "May I go to the bathroom? May I throw out the trash?" God is saying here the same thing. He's saying here that I may have permission to exalt you by you clothing yourself in humility. What God is saying, "I am just, I am righteous, and I am truthful. I honor my own word," says the Lord. "I want to exalt all you guys, but I may not because I have no permission to do that because you're being too prideful in your life. I resist pride. I resist it. But I give grace to the humble." And those who say, "May I," and those who have humility, I will give grace to them and grant permission to them for exaltation, for favor, for handfuls of blessings on purpose in their lives. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion," notice this, "seeking whom he may devour." He's trying to find permission to find a place in our lives to bring destruction or bad things to our lives. The Bible says that Satan came to Jesus, he found no place in him because he was clothed in humility, the very form of a servant. Amen? I'm going to ask James to come back to the platform to help me out here at the close of the service again today. But I want to say we need to quit worrying about being passed over, about taking him and being achievers, about being those that are always being passed over for promotions, for raises, for bonuses, always finding ourselves being slighted in life around us. Quit being worried about being respected by folks around us that are our peers and our co-workers and our family members. And God is saying, if you are a person precious in my sight, that's all that matters. If you want to gain respect in life, learn to be clothed in humility and be a servant of people upon the face of this earth. In the last days we're in right now today, right now is the last days. I believe that very strongly, as you do yourself, I'm sure. It says one of the main marks of the last days is people will be prideful and boastful and abusers of authority upon the earth. We're seeing pride around us every single day at our workplace, in our neighborhoods, drivers around us. We're seeing pride and arrogance on TV, in the media, right in front of our face, more and more and more. And I believe one of the biggest keys for end time revival and evangelism is that people of God humble themselves and pray and seek His face, turn from wicked ways, let God come and heal our land. That's somewhere in the Bible. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. This morning here, as James is going to play here softly for us, please, God's already been speaking to us about releasing among us prophetic flow. The reason God moves like this and services like this, I believe one reason is because we allow Him to do that. Because we say, Father God, I cannot offer the people in this congregation today anything in myself. I need You, God, to minister to people on my left, on my right, behind me, and in front of me, as You want to. We've only got 2 hours, Father God, in a whole week of 7 days times 24 hours to see what God will do here among us, to edify, to strengthen, to speak, to confirm, to heal, deliver, and set free. But the good news is God says He'll redeem the time because the days are evil. God's redeemed some time today, and He thanks you for being here today. You could be out shopping, eating at some nice restaurant, sleeping in, reading newspapers, or whatever. God is glad we're here today. And what God is saying to us, I believe by His Spirit, is those who humble themselves under my mighty hand, I will lift them up and I will exalt them, not for their own sake, but for the sake of those they touch upon the face of this earth. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed again this morning for privacy's sake only, I want to remind you of these 3 points today, and they were: humility brings blessing. Humility is counterintuitive. Humility also protects us. This morning, while our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask, first of all, today, is there anybody here in this room that would be honest and say, Pastor Mike, even God the Father, I want to talk to you today. I want to make sure, Father God, that before I leave this place, my heart is right with You. Maybe you sense today by God's convicting work, even, because God comes to convict, not to condemn. God condemns nobody, but God convicts us. If you sense some things inside your own heart or life that's of pride or of arrogance or of things that need to start coming down, that are over-inflated perhaps in your own eyes, and you want to get your heart right with God today and let God be the one who works among us and in your life in specific today, perhaps you want to come to Christ for the first time as your personal Lord and Savior, or give your life even back to Him in a thing called rededication to the Lord. Would you be honest this morning here and just put one hand up real quickly and say, I'm a person like that, Pastor Mike. I want to receive prayer that Jesus Christ is Lord of all my life. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I see these hands are going up left and right. Praise You, Father God. Thank You, Jesus. I'm going to have us all to stand to our feet now, if you could do that, please. One of the reasons that God even says humility includes gathering together like this on Sunday mornings in a congregation like this is because what God does is if all of us come together, it brings a corporate anointing among us that does not exist in your living room or your bedroom. In this kind of an atmosphere, the Holy Spirit is free to give a message beyond my message that's just for you. You sometimes will think about things that are specifically for you while I preach or speak that the Holy Spirit's got for you, and that would not happen in your bedroom or your living room by yourself. When we come together, God says, I have permission to meddle in your affairs and do good things in your life that I want to do. I'm going to ask those people that raise their hands to make one more bold step this morning. Make your way to your seat if you would. Come to the front here. Let's join Jack and the prayer partners, Cheryl, those that are prayer partners, come to the front also, please, to join these people that are here. Therese Brocker, come to the front, please. Help me out. Susan Veal, you can come up here. Help me out here, please. These folks coming to the front here, let's stand with them right now. Let's pray with them right now. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to have His way in their lives. This is Susie. We're so proud of her. She's going to be getting surgery this week. And told me before service, she'll be gone for a couple of months, recuperating from her surgery that she's going to have to take place in her leg this week. Let's be praying for Susie every day that she faces the surgeons. Everything goes better than normal or natural. Amen. We welcome Stanley here today with his wife from Houston, Texas. They're from India. They're going to join us in Zambia, Africa. Let's pray for Susie and all those in the front right now, that the Holy Spirit works in their lives according to His desire. Father, we thank You. We praise You, God, for these precious women, this man as well. Raise his hand up to You, O God, and say, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord, my God. I want to see these things in my heart that might have risen up, that caused me trouble. I want to see them brought down and squashed in the name of Jesus. I say, let God arise in their hearts in Jesus' name. Let Your enemies, O God, be scattered from them in the name of Jesus. Father God, as they're being prayed for right now, we are in the congregation that are out here in our seats. I pray, God, that pride and arrogance be made known to us. Every blind spot made known to us. Give us, O God, people in the body of Christ who can be watchmen, who can be, Father God, those who see our blind spots and can speak into our lives with teachable spirits and humble hearts. There's areas, brother or sister, in your life that are going to cause you problems if you don't deal with them by God's power and God's Spirit. Help us, oh God, be vulnerable, teachable people who let the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, meddle in our business sometimes in loving, righteous, good ways that brings blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank You for all You've done this day. Seal the work You've done in this service, oh God, by Your Spirit. There's not just one service to go to, come into, and then go out and forget all things that happened. We say, build on what You've done this day. Build on this, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise You, God, for Your faithfulness in Jesus' name. I'm going to have Stanley come to the front now as they're being prayed for in the front. You guys can just pray as long as you want to pray up here. Let's let Stanley dismiss us in prayer. Just bless the people if you would do that, please. Stanley ministers in India, Asian countries. His first time to Africa will happen with us September the 6th. Be praying for us in advance that God will use our team to be a blessing to those folks in Zambia in a few weeks from now. God bless you, Stanley.
Lord, a gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking to us this morning time, Master. Let us have a heart of humility that we can surrender to do Your will in our life, Master. Lord, every word we speak, everyone we meet, let us be able to say that Thy will be done, Master. Lord, we pray as we pray for all who have come in the front. Let them be touched. Especially we pray for our sister who's going through the surgery. Touch her, Master. Lord, when she goes through, that she'll have complete healing in her body, Master. Lord, we pray for all who have come for different needs. You understand their needs. Touch them, Master. Lord, as this evening, as we go now, keep us safe. Bless us once more. Thank You for this church. In Jesus' name I pray.